73. As they were leaving, Blair said she needed to start her story all over again, that she remembered parts that she'd left out. Jesse told her she could do it tomorrow, or when she was fully up to it. She said she wanted to do it right now. "In case I forget stuff for good," she said. Then she told them that the last time Ben had called her, he sounded more frantic than ever, but made sure to tell her that he'd left one last note for her in their wishing tree that would explain everything about what he called buried treasure if something happened to him. She told him to stop talking like that, yelled at him that this wasn't some game. It had stopped being a game a long time ago. What treasure? She squeezed her eyes shut. "But I was talking to myself by then," she said. "He was gone." When she found out he was dead, she'd hidden in the cabin until she called Molly Crane. Blair kept repeating that she should have called Molly sooner. Molly kept telling her that fear could make even brave people go a little bit crazy. Jesse had gone over to the house after leaving the hospital, had found the tree with the small slot carved into it, the envelope with the key inside, and a locker number from safe storage located in the swamp. It was there that Ben Gage had stored the artifacts he'd dug up. He had to have shown Neil some of what he had, Jesse said. But not told him where he had it stashed, Crow said. Maybe the only person he trusted completely was Blair, Jesse said. They both knew how much they would never know about the last night of Neil O'Hara's life, the last days of Ben Gage's. Jesse was going on the assumption, what he thought was a reasonable one, that Ben must have hidden at least one key after discovering that his house had been searched, and run, until Carr and Woodson had caught up with him, tying up one more loose end. "It can only be them," Jesse said to Crow. "Turns out that maybe Santo and Baldelli caught a good beating from me for nothing," Crow said. "Might make them work harder at being their best selves," Jesse said. Billy Singer was back in Vegas by now. Ed Barone had announced he was putting his casino in Taunton up for sale. Thomas Lawton's lawyers were trying to get the restraining order thrown out as a way of somehow bringing the deal back to life, but were being out-lawyered by Rita Fiore at every turn, as Jesse knew they would be. "All those big winners," Crow said now, "coming up losers in the end, like they were all in Vegas." He had come over tonight to say goodbye, telling Jesse he was leaving in the morning. "You're going to say goodbye to Molly?" Jesse said. "Already did." "How'd that go?" Jesse said. "She thanked me for everything I did saving your life and told me she was glad the two of us were on better terms and then told me to never come back," Crow said. "Kind of get you right here," Jesse said. He was drinking one of those cold brew coffees he'd taken a liking to. Crow kept sipping on his flask. Sometimes they would go for a few minutes without either one of them speaking. It made neither one of them jumpy. Finally, Crow said, "Somebody still got away with murder." "Two murders," Jesse said, "and nearly a third." "Somebody hired Carr and Woodson," Crow said. "Bother you? You don't know who did that either?" Jesse gave him a sideways look. "What do you think?" Gabe had called that morning to tell him he was throwing in the towel on Neil O'Hara's car, as pissed off as he was to be telling Jesse that. But he and Jim Silliman had come up empty, goddamn it all, to hell. "At least none of those bastards got away with murder on the land deal," Jesse said. "So we've got that going for us." "Because of a note the kid left in a tree," Crow said. "One tree hugger leaving it for another," Jesse said. "The kid digging those graves finally dug up something that buried them all," Crow said. "Pity," Jesse said, "isn't it?" "Ben Gage turned out to be a hero in this," Crow said. "So did Neil," Jesse said. "So did the girl," Crow said. "Where are you headed next?" Jesse said. He saw Crow smile. Thought I might head down to the Florida Keys and buy myself a little fishing boat, Crow said. Try some of that Hemingway shit on for size.
Old engine in the sea, Jesse said.
Old Kiowa, Crow said.
Or Jicarilla.
Crow stood up. He put out his hand. Jesse shook it. Next time, Crow said. Jesse smiled again. Do we really need one? Jesse said. Jesse was still on his terrace, Crow long gone, when he heard the banging on his door. Gabe Weathers was standing there when he opened it, along with a big bald guy he introduced as Jim Silliman. They were both grinning at him. Gabe had some printouts in his hand. Quitters never win, Gabe said.